Your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And this morning, thanks to God, if I had to put time into those passages of scripture, it would be finding joy in the midst of life's struggle.
Amen. That's right.
Finding joy in the midst of life's struggle. Looking at how we can completely break free from our past so that we can live successful and productively life in the here and now, I want to share with you how to find joy in the midst of life hardship. Otherwise, we would not have victory without the joy within hardship. We see that James 1 and 2 through 4 said, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produce patience. But let all patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lack nothing." We see, saints of God, how many of us really take this verse serious? Yes, really think about it and be honest with yourself. How many really take this verse serious? We laugh and we say, ha-ha, yeah, right. How can I have joy when I'm going through, when there's a heartache, when there's things in my life that nobody really seems to care, when God seems to be far away, not listening to what I'm praying about, what I'm asking, what my need. But saints of God, God knows your need.
Yes, he does.
If we really desire the liberation power of God's Spirit and kingdom in our life, we must find joy in life hardship. We see that there's a number of things that cause hardship in our life. Things such as sickness, family tragedy, out of work, financial difficulties, family problems, major calamities such as hurricanes, earthquakes, flood, and even business failures. These things are a given, but Jesus said, "Be of good cheer."
Come on.
He is saying that we must learn how to find joy in the mix of life hardship, because he have overcame the world.
Yes,
it has. Amen. So if we're in Christ and he is in us, if we is in Christ and he is in us, we have overcome the world also.
Amen.
There's nothing that we cannot do, because through Christ we can do all things.
Yes.
And if he have overcome the world, so have we.
Amen.
We see in John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
Amen.
So the words there that we're going to have trials and tribulation, but it also tells us to be of good cheer.
Uh-huh.
So we have to take that word literally and plant it in our soul, in our spirit, because our soul and spirit got to come together and agree
that's right.
For to get this flesh under control.
Yeah.
So in other words, when we get it down in our spirit to be of good cheer, even through the trials and tribulation that we are going through, we can find joy in that struggle.
Uh-huh.
How to find joy in the midst of hardship? With this in mind, we look at some of kingdom principle of faith as to how we can successfully with joy draw water from the well of salvation in time of difficulty. We see in Isaiah 12 verses 2 and 3. It said, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation.
Thank you.
Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the well of salvation. So we see, thanks to God, the word said we would draw joy out of the well of salvation. We must completely let go of the past, thanks to God. In order to draw that water out of salvation, we got to let the past be the past.
Amen.
Whatever happened in the past, if somebody hurt you or somebody have did you wrong, or if something that hadn't went right in your life, you got to let that go. You got to let the past go. Don't continue to bring up the past, but learn from your past.
Amen. Yes,
if you did something, if something happened to you, learn from that mistake. But don't carry that as an extra burden on yourself. If God forgave you, you should forgive yourself also.
Amen.
So in other words, completely let the past go. We see in Philippians 3:13, it says, "Brother, do not count myself to be apprehensive, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reaches forward to those things which are ahead." So in other words, forget about your past. Look to the present and the future. Because if we look to the future of the word of God, we know that we have victory. We got the victory. Because the word said we have the victory. So don't look at the past and what happened and what people done to you. Look ahead. Until we really free from the past, we will never have the joy that is needed to deal with today's problem and trial.
Yes.
Paul recognized this, that the weight of the past was a great hindrance to him. So he is letting it go, and we must do it also.
Yes.
We must let the past go. There's so much for us to reach forward to with a sense of participation and hope, but we must let the past go before the joy and hope of the future will really settle in.
Thank you, Jesus.
We got to give room to joy and hope. Our faith got to work, but how can it work with we holding on to the past? We got to let the past go. Also, thanks to God, to have joy, we must have a vision that is greater than our struggle.
Amen.
In Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there's no revelation, the people cast the restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." We know that the law is passed, it's done away with, but we're talking about the new, as today, thanks to God, we're talking about the new law, the love. The love law.
Hallelujah.
So we got to keep that law, even with this, because old things we can't hold on to, but we got to keep the new law, the love law.
Yes.
Also, we see that in that vision, there, where there's no revelation, the people cast off the restraint, but happy is he that keep the law. So we got to keep the law. In other words, it is the vision that that sustain us in the midst of life's hardship, because it gives us the ability to see beyond that which is taken in our life as momentarily. So, and what's going on with you, thanks God, is just momentary. It's not a lifelong thing. If we know who we are and whom we are, and stand on the word, no matter what Satan bring your way, you still have the victory.
Yes.
It's enable us not to lose heart in the midst of a problem. As we continue to focus our vision, what God has in store for us, as well as the blessing of eternal bliss, we are able to see that whatever we are going through is only a momentary affliction. We see also in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, it says, we're going to be traveling a little bit throughout the word, but like I said, we're not going to be I'm not going to be long before you long. Just a few nuggets of encouragement, thanks God. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, it says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So in other words, saying to God, this is where our faith is really at work, having hope in God and His Word. We got to put our hope and our faith in God and in His Word in order to have that joy through life, hardships, struggles. We see things going. It's not easy going through life knowing that things has happened, but we got to have our faith. We got to stand on the Word. We got to build our faith. And as we listen to the words, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when we continue to stand on the faith, we read and pray over the Word, and we believe and stand on the Word, it's increased, it's mature our faith. So we see, thanks to God, we will soon discover that the cloud is God's wonderful chariot of provision, full of angels or mercies, when we do that. The example of this is Joseph. The example of Joseph in Genesis 37, verse 5 through 11. In other words, it's talking about Joseph's two dreams.
Yes.
Sometimes we got, in our vision, thanks to God, we got to keep our vision and our dreams to ourselves. We just can't speak those, tell everybody about our dreams and our vision, because people will get discouraged and they get jealous of you, and they'll try to hinder you from what God has shown you and told you. Sometimes you just have to, when a person prophesies to you, you got to make sure that that prophecy is with line up with the Word. If it lining up with the Word, you know, it's good to go. So you can't just run out there and just tell everybody, okay, well, this is what the Lord told me. This is what was prophesied to me. Because, you know, you have those ones out there that is jealous of you, want to see you fail, don't want to see you succeed, don't want you to see you have that joy in your life. So we have to be careful, thanks to God, on who we tell about our vision.
Right.
See, because we see that Joseph, although he went through, but he was telling his vision to the wrong crowd at the wrong time. Even his father had to rebuke him on that. His brother was already envious of him. But you got to be careful when we go out and we have these dreams and stuff. So Joseph was a good example of the people who experienced his share of hardship. His brother hated him because of his dream. They sold him into slavery. He was put into prison for something he didn't do. And yet, all of this, he was able to find joy. The reason was because he had a vision that was greater than any other struggle he was going through. And thanks to God, as long as we live, there's going to be a struggle in our life. But I'm here today to tell you, thanks to God, have joy in the midst of your struggle.
Yes.
We also see, thanks to God, in Genesis 39:22, it said, and it said, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph hand all the prison who was in the prison. Well, whatever they did, it was his doing. So in other words, so the prison guard turned everything over to Joseph. because of his unwinding attitude or joy in the midst of difficulty, Joseph saw his dream come to a fulfillment. Joseph had some choices he had to make, and so do we. We have choices, thanks to God. We have choices to bless or curse. We have a choice to live or die. We have choices all over the place, good and evil. We have a choice to do whatever we desire to do. But God gave us the answer, choose life.
That's right.
So as Joseph had a choice he had to make, he could have taken on a victory mentality, a victim mentality by feeling sorry for himself. He could have gotten bitter toward those who have done him wrong, or he could find joy in the difficult because the vision that was yet set before him. So, saints of God, like I said, forget the past, forget the hurt, forget the pain, but look to the future. Look in the present to the future. The end result, for in other words, back to the future, from the beginning, because from the beginning, we have the victory.
Yes.
We have the victory.
Yes.
So that's a key point, just looking toward the future for the victory.
Yes.
Continue to do and run this race with patience, thanks to God.
Mm-hmm.
We see in Genesis 50, chapter 50, in verse 20, it says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many lives." So in other words, thanks to God, just remember what other people done to you and hurt you, whatever the devil brought into your life, you know, God can use that for good. He'll turn it into good. Whatever the devil put in your life or set in your life, God will make it good. Some type of way, he will turn it out to be good. As long as you is working and living and standing on the word of God, God will use that evil and turn it into good. So we must see, thanks to God, not only will it turn in good for you, it will turn it in good for other people in the kingdom of God, because that'll be your testimony.
Amen.
And we overcome by the words of the testimony, by the blood of the Lamb and word of our testimony.
Yes, Lord.
So when we overcome our brothers and sisters by our testimony, they will overcome also. Also, saints of God, when we to have joy in the midst of hardship, we must focus on the growth that God desires to bring forth. We must focus on the growth that God desires to bring forth. We see that God has always desired to bring, to use the hardship in our life to teach us to rely on Him and to use them as an opportunity to grow and mature. Our growth and maturity come out of the hard lesson of life, not the easy ones. So let me point out right here, saints of God, God do not put hardship on you. He is a loving God. He is a good God. He is a kind God. But the hardship that in our life, God used that hardship to teach us basis to depend on Him, not on ourselves, to teach us how to grow. In other words, to grow our faith and depend on Him.
Yes.
It is not God put these things on us. It's Satan. Everything we see from God, it is good. Because He is a good God. He is a good Father.
Yes.
So how can a good Father give us evil things? So through our hardship, God will give us the opportunity to grow and mature. In Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, it says, And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces persevere, and persevere character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we see, saints of God, no matter what we're going through, we will go through trials and tribulation, but through that, they'll come produce persevere, and persevere will do character, and character hope, and hope do not disappoint us. It will give us joy. We see that God wants to make something beautiful of your life. Don't let this purpose be thwarted by the bump in the road in your life. In other words, thanks to God, He want to give you a beautiful life. Matter of fact, God have given you a beautiful life, because God, we're made of His image and of His likeness. So He is beautiful. He is love. So we are love. We are beautiful. So in other words, don't let these situations, these trials and tribulation that we have, that come in our life, don't let it throw us from our future journey. Continue to travel on the straight and narrow road. Oftentimes, when trouble comes, our natural tendency is to focus on self and the problem and turn inward, which only lead to loss of joy. So in other words, when we have these trials and tribulation and these sickness and stuff, we want to turn into old me, have a pity party, so to speak. Old me, want everybody else to have pity, be a pity party. You know, don't be like Job and everything. Although his friend came to visit him with negative comments, sometimes, no, you don't want that. You don't want to have that pity party. You know, send them, okay, I appreciate your visit, but send them on way. You know, you can do bad all by yourself. You know, you don't need no, you know, miserable love concert, but, you know, that's when you have to bring that joy, force that joy back into your life. Just send them away. I can do bad by myself. I have my own pity party. I can stay up here until you break through. That's a good time, thanks to God, to have your faith at work, to go in your closet and pray and fast and study and meditate on the word, stand on the word and tell the devil, get out of here, because I believe in the word of God. I'm standing on the word of God. I will have my joy. You cannot steal my joy. There's a song out, I'd say, you cannot steal my joy. But I can't sing it, so I ain't gonna even try. But anyway, like I've said, I'm going through things right now. And like I said, this message was for me and everything, because devil, you can't have my joy. You can't have my joy. And that's what we got to tell him. You can't have my joy. No matter what I'm going through, I know I have the victory, because I have Jesus, and Jesus held me. So, devil, you can't have my joy. You cannot have it. You cannot have it. So we have to continue to speak the words. Whatever you're going through, speak positive. Don't speak negative. Oh, it's always me, always me, always me. Why not you? Maybe something in your life that you need to search out and pray about it, to get strong about it, to really get so mad and angry, upset with the devil, that you really put him under your feet. See, oftentimes when trouble comes, like I said, our nature is tend to want to be that pity party. Oh, mean, you know, everybody, we just want people to come in and comfort us. But no, most time, that's a time, like I said, to push them away and get yourselves together to bring joy, because more distracted, because sometimes that's the distraction that's coming to you and everything to keep you from doing what you have to do. Also, thanks to God, to bring joy in the midst of hardship, we must trust in the Lord in all things. We got to trust in the Lord in all things. Not some things, you know, like haphazardly we sometimes do. We know we'll come to church on Sunday and on Wednesday or Tuesday or whenever you buy a Bible study or whatever and everything. But the rest of the time, this my time. I'm not giving it to you, Lord. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do. I give you my time on Sundays for 2 or 3 hours. I give you my time at Bible studies for 1 or 2 hours and everything, but the rest of the week is mine. So, but we, thanks to God, we got to learn to trust in the Lord at all times. We got to turn everything over to Him. Like the pastor said, when you're bringing it up to the altar, leave it there. We got to just leave it there. We can't go and keep bringing it back, you know, putting it there, then taking it back with us. Leaving it there, taking it back with us. You know, they just like a, God wants somebody that's hot or cold. He don't want nobody just, you know, lukewarm. Because His word says He's going to spew them out in your mouth. So either be hot or be cold. He know what you're dealing with. He know what He's dealing with. Although He know what He's dealing with, but he know that He know that you know that you know that He know if you hot or you cold. So He can deal with it. And don't be lukewarm, straddle the fish, you know, well, grass look green over here. I'm going to step over here and get some of this. But I like the strawberries over here, so I'm going to stay over here and be straddling the fence, trying to grit grass and trying to get some. No, saints of God, either be hot or be cold. And just surrender everything. Either you want to keep everything to yourself, be cold, keep everything to yourself and be miserable, or give everything to the Lord and find joy.
Amen.
So we see in Psalms 5, verses 11 through 12. Okay, 11 through 12 it said, but let all these rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them even shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O God, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. We also see in Psalms, all this is under trust in the Lord in all things. Also, we see in Psalms 37, verse 3 and 4, it says, Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. So in other words, thanks God, when we do that, He gives you the desires of your heart. That's working on your vision, because your desire should be your vision, your dream. He will give you the desires of your heart, so He's working on your dreams, on your vision. Also, we see in Psalms 125, verse 1. I'm gonna let you know we're gonna get out the Old Testament. We're gonna get out the Old Testament. But while we's there, we just stay there and keep it from flipping. Okay. Psalms 125 and verse 1, it said, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abide forever. Also, one more, Philippians 4. We're going to get out the Old Testament. But some odd reason, you know, sometimes I just, when I get in the Old Testament, it's just enlightening for bringing into the new and everything. It's just encouragement for me to know, you know, what happened, took place back then, that I know what can go through now. What can happen now? Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7. And it said, rejoice in the Lord always. What did it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I would say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So in other words, thanks to God, like I said, we must trust in the Lord in all things. And when we do, our ability to continue to trust in God is a very strong key element in our ability to find joy in the midst of life hardship. Because trust enables us to know deep within our own heart and soul that everything is really all right. Amen. Enable us not to be anxious for nothing. So in conclusion, saints of God, as I'm about to unplug, as Pastor would say, I'm about to unplug this morning, I want you to know that you can have joy in the midst of life hardship, and that your joy will give you the strength to be an overcomer in all things in Christ. Amen. Amen.
Finding joy. I heard finding joy in those missing travelations. There's a movie out there, Finding Nemo. Jesus, he's my joy. So like Reed said, in the tribulation, in the trial, I'm not supposed to be looking at all the stuff I'm dealing with. I'm supposed to be looking at Jesus, right? Finding Jesus, finding joy. Because if I find Jesus, I find joy. If I find Jesus, like Reed said, I find peace. If I find Jesus, that's my happy place. Happy is he. My happy place. Come on now, think about your happy place. You might have to go back a few years to find my happy place. Mine used to be when I was a youngin' boy, I'd get out in summertime. School's out for summer. Get out of school. Get into the woods. Get into the lake as a boy. Get my fishing rod out. Find my happy place. Where's your happy place? I didn't have Jesus back then, but I still would find happiness. Because, see, he created us for us to enjoy this world, for us to enjoy all things. He hadn't changed even when I was a sinner and lost. He's still there. He's there watching. The angels are there to guard and protect me. It's called mercy. I didn't have his grace, but I had his mercy. See, God got us covered. He wants us to come in. Jesus is wanting our worship. He's wanting us anytime to come in. Come home. Remember the old song? Come home. Come home. Where's that home at? It's at the feet of Jesus. I find joy there. In the midst of my tribulations, I find peace and joy. And that makes me want to get up and tell the devil something. Amen, right? Joy will cause you to do something. It'll cause you to get up and do something, right? We had a good softball game yesterday. Ruthie might think otherwise right now. They lost, but you know what? I saw determination. I heard, I want to win it. She might not have remembered that message the Lord gave me on we're in it to win it. Being in something to win something will cause you to do something. That's faith. Being in something to win something will cause you to do something. It'll cause you to jump out of a perfectly fine boat and go meet Jesus on the seashore with half your clothes and go jumping out the boat. Because somebody said, it's the Lord. Man, seeing Jesus will cause you to do some crazy things. Right? It'll cause you to tell your vision sometime before the time. The Bible says that vision is for the vision God gives you is for an appointed time and season. But now it's for you. When he gives it to you, it's yours. But let him bring it to pass. Let him bring that vision to pass. Don't cast your pearl before the swine out there. They're swine. All they care about is mud, getting dirty. We're about staying clean and holy before the Lord. You can get the feet of Jesus. That's it. Remember, God told Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. You at the feet of Jesus, you're at God's feet. Now, he doesn't care how dirty you are. Just come to his feet so he can wash you, right? That's where we take our shower, at the feet of Jesus. See, this world, you're going to be hit with things. That's what Reed's telling us. Tribulation, trials, they're coming. You walk out the door, they're going to meet you. They'll meet you before you get to the end of the parking lot. I heard somebody talking about a dog coming on their property. The neighbor's dog will cause you to things to try to hit you. But don't let it steal your joy, right? Old dog, cats, people, God's people. God's people. Church-going people. Uh-oh. I better close this service. Uh-oh. Getting touchy now. Getting personal now. Hey, God loves you, right? He's here for you. Joy.